At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Greetings, EastEnders fans, and welcome to another episode of Albert Square After Dark, your weekly EastEnders podcast. This week, discussing the episodes broadcast between the 8th to the 11th of September 2025. How are you this week? Are you well? You look well. Good, good, marvellous. Hi, Ree, how are you this week?
I'm all right, Rob. How are you?
I'm all right. I tell you what, another good week for EastEnders this week. NTAs, people, come on. I mean,
that award
cabinet is sagging as we speak right now. They're going to need to, like, put it up with scaffolding, the rate it's going after this year.
They need another one, if anything. They're just going to have to get another three cabinets, I think.
Just get a wardrobe. Is that a thing? Yeah. A wardrobe for awards cabinet. That's what he's... awards wardrobe. Anyway, so, Steve McFadden...
Somewhere to put all of the
they need an aircraft hangar.
Yes.
Somewhere out there is Steve McFadden, who I am assuming is feeling pretty damn fine about himself because he finally won the best serial drama performance at the NTAs. It was a fantastic moment, very emotional. The whole cast was delighted for him. It was a really, really fantastic moment, wasn't it?
Yeah, I actually had a friend who doesn't watch EastEnders message me to say that they were crying at him winning. Because they felt it that much, like you were like. You were very humble, wasn't he?
He was.
As well?
He is Steve McFadden.
It's going viral, isn't it? All cast, like, you know, jumping up and applauding him.
They love him.
Sat there like...
Yeah, they absolutely love that man, and quite right too. Fair. He's very respected, which is great. Even my mum messaged me and said, oh, Phil McFadden won an award. I was like, yes,
Phil McFadden.
Yes, mum, he did. And then, of course, they finished the night with winning Best Soap at the NTA. It's the second NTA award win in a row. Was it the third? A third, I think, wasn't it?
Best serial drama.
It's the same thing. Best serial drama soap. It's the NTA, so they used the more official term. Serial drama. Best continuing drama. But they won it. Marvellous, fantastic. What a way to end yes, we're in the Ben Wade era now, but it was a nice sort of little dovetail to Chris Clenshaw's era, I thought,
because I were wondering that. I was like, I wonder if Chris Clenshaw's there as well, because it is kind of like his era at the same time, isn't it? But I guess
half and half. You pass the book over and then it's all, and then the new guy comes in. Yeah, I'll take that award. Thank you very much.
Oh, I love that award. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
No, cast, all of you can start off. That's going right on my mantelpiece. Thank you very much.
Hey, he's doing all right.
He's doing all right. Wadester. That's our nickname for him now. You know, we had Clenners.
Wadester.
And now we've got Wadester.
Wadester. There you go. Interesting.
The Wadester. Right, ladies and gents, talking of the Wadester, we've got another week to discuss this week. Mm. Quite a busy old week. We've got quite a few little developments to discuss, including starting off with the return of Jono. Very short-lived return.
There's been
longer returns in the history of the show, let's be real.
Yeah, we are still having, it did feel slightly rushed, I'm not going to
lie. Talk about that in a moment, my dear. Talk about that in a moment, in this week's Albert Square After Dark. So let's kick off this week. We're talking about Callum and Johnny and Jono, all the Johns. This basically starts with Callum sitting minding his own business in the Albert, and all of a sudden he hears a kerfuffle going on outside, and Eve is being sort of homophobically attacked. Now, I've been homophobically attacked in the past, Ree. I want to keep it light, but what I would say is it was a bit worse than being called you stupid lesbian. That's been worse.
never knew that, Rob.
I know it upsettle. I know it upskittles you, but you stupid lesbian. I'd have thought, you know, it's not the. It's not. It's a mild homophobic attack, I would say.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, it still
Yeah,
hurt the
it
attack
is. Yeah,
nonetheless.
it
Yeah, I
is.
could
It
have said
upskittles you.
worse, but you know,
Yes.
like still
What
literally
do you
attacked
say?
her, like
Yeah.
physically attacked her.
Well, he did. He did. So Callum rushes outside and rugby tackles a bloke to the ground. And lo and behold, it transpires to be Jono Highway, his daddy. I mean, when we heard, because we knew that Jono was going to be meeting his end, hence why Ben is soon returning. Did you expect to actually see him?
No, I
Neither
just
did I.
assumed off screen that
Off
he was going to
screen.
have died and then Callum would be going to the funeral.
Yeah.
But it kind of makes sense how they've done it because they needed Johnny to be more involved in
Oh, he was
this
involved.
last goodbye, I guess.
He was involved.
Well,
So Callum actually arrests his dad, which fair enough. I can understand that completely because the man is a scuzzball.
When it's a hate crime, like, yeah,
Well,
come on.
exactly. And so Johnny's taken to the police station, and Johnny then decides that he's going to pretend to be Jono's legal representation so that he can sort of try and fix Jono and Callum's relationship. Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah?
Well, he's trying to suss Jono out so that Callum doesn't get hurt trying to do that himself in a way. I think
I
that's what
mean,
he was trying to do, weren't it? That was
well,
his idea.
deep down, what he was trying to do is like, right, I need to see what my future father-in-law is going to look like, really,
Oh
doesn't it?
yeah,
Let's
I'm
be
not,
real.
yeah.
Let's be real. So he goes and has a conversation with Jono, and I think fairly quickly sort of gets the cut of his jib. I think he kind of sees through him quite quickly, but decides, you know, his personal opinion on the matter isn't enough. That doesn't matter, really. It's up to Callum to make this decision. So he sort of kind of arranges this situation where Jono basically says, "Yeah, I do want to see Callum. I want to try and sort. I want to try and sort things out." So he goes to Callum and tells him what he's done. I was expecting Callum to be a bit angrier
With
for
what? With in
the
regards to
interfere,
what he's done?
for him sort of
Well,
interfering.
Johnny, yeah, I know what you mean. I thought that, but you were very like, oh, you were just trying to help. Well, obviously he's got goggles on for Johnny,
Smitten,
haven't he?
smitten. Yes.
Do you know what though? To be fair, I got fully convinced by Johnny myself. You know, when Johnny was
Did
sat
you?
with him in the pub, yeah. And he was saying that, you know, oh, my mum didn't take to my aunt, you know, me coming out well, but now we're really close. I genuinely thought Jono were like, oh, maybe I should
Oh,
give it a go.
I was expecting him at that point to say, "Oh, your mum sounds hot. Let me and her could get on."
I
Got a
thought
number.
he'd like genuinely got through to him a little bit, actually, and he was like genuinely wanted to make it up to Callum.
I wasn't convinced. I mean, I know I sounded trite at the start, but homophobia isn't something that just goes
Well, no,
away in a
you.
couple of days, is
Well,
it?
yeah, no, you're right. But I mean, putting that as aside as much as you can,
Yeah.
I did genuinely think he wanted to make some kind of genuine amends with
I
Callum.
mean,
I
I
don't believe
wasn't,
it now, obviously,
no, I
but at
wasn't
the
expecting,
time, how fully duped.
I wasn't expecting his ultimate motive as it transpired. But I wasn't like totally convinced. So he explains to Callum what he's done, and Callum's basically like, right, okay, yeah, I'll give him a chance, fair play. So Jono arranges the meeting. Just pause. I quite enjoyed when Callum and Phil were having a conversation about it the next day. Phil just casually offering to a policeman, I'll have him killed. That's fine. You know, I'm a busy man today. I've got to sort Nigel out, but I can do it before tea time. That's not a
Yeah,
problem.
no biggie, no biggie. Callum, just give me
Do you
the
want me to
nod if
sort?
you.
Yeah, do you want me to sort him out? Have him killed? That's not a problem. It's like,
I think.
is this how much reverence Callum really has as a police officer that Phil can just quite cheerfully say, "I can have him off. That's not a problem. I can get it sorted. No drama."
I think he knew Callum wouldn't agree to it, but he was trying to. That was Phil's roundabout way of saying, "I'm here for you if you need
That's
it.
the
Let me know
strange
if you
thing,
need
isn't it?
angry him."
That's the mad thing about Phil Mitchell. It's sort of like, yeah, that's Phil being supportive. Fair play.
Because that's what he said to Johnny
Yeah,
after. He was like,
yeah.
oh, you're actually being really
Yeah,
nice,
he
you know,
offered to
just
kill my
threatening
dad and
to off me
everything.
dad. Yeah.
Yeah, he's such a nice man. So the meeting is arranged for Callum's flat. Johnny says, "Right, okay, I'll hang around. I'll sit in the bedroom and do some work or something." He wasn't doing work at all. He was watching YouTube. Don't lie to me, Johnny. And he, Jono arrives, and it doesn't go well. Let's be real here. Well, for a start, Jono is busy like downing beers when all Callum really wants to do is make him a cup of tea. He claims he's
Yes, it did
nervous,
seem like it
but
was quite early morning still. Like,
yeah.
wasn't drinking beer time, was it?
Not really, not really. Just a
No.
four pack of cans. Didn't even offer Callum one either. He was planning on just like going
No.
for all those four on his own. Not a problem. And so the pair of them sort of start to try and have a like sort of semi-adult sensible conversation, and it sort of seems maybe that Callum and you know that they're thawing out towards each other a little bit. You know, he's taking the mick out of, I have to say, when he started laughing about the fact that Ben was in prison and that Callum was with him, I was sort of like, yeah, I get that.
I mean,
It's not the most unfairest point anyone could ever make.
No.
But then he sees a picture of Lexi on the wall and it's sort of like, she's beautiful, fair play, I'm sorry I laughed. And it all seems to be going all right. And then, well, he sort of says to Callum, I'm not long for this world. And Callum's sort of like, what, have you got cancer or something? And he just says, well, no, but you know, the doctor's saying, you know, hi, they've told me I've got to knock the drinking on the air. So in Jono's world, that means I'm going to be dead soon because he's got to stop drinking and he's got high cholesterol and all that kind of thing, which I feel like is fairly normal when you get to Jono's age, isn't
I don't know, actually. I was just
it?
thinking as you're saying it, and one of my in-laws' friends like basically got told kind of the same as Jono of like, yeah, you're just like, there's nothing like specifically
Yeah,
wrong,
but
but
there, trust
like
me, there are minutes
everything, it's a bit of
left.
everything.
Well, it really is minutes because they start having an argument because Callum sort of gets into his kind of works out, and I think he's probably right that you know because Jono starts whinging about the fact that he's been arrested, he's going to need legal representation and everything. That's going to cost him the earth. He's out of a job. He's not allowed benefits or any of this kind of thing. And he's basically, it seems, trying to just worm his way back into Callum's life in order to get a bit of money because he even made that comment when he first arrived, going, "Oh, this place yours, is it? Not bad. You've done all right for yourself." So I feel like Callum was kind of spot on with that, wasn't he?
Do you know, I didn't even click until you just said about that comment, but yeah, you're right. And I, again, up until this point, he completely fooled me. I was like, oh, he genuinely is trying in his own way to make amends. And you know, look at how Phil used to be. Now he's very accepting of Ben. Maybe this is Jono. And then this is why Callum's going to be so upset because he'll think, oh, you know, we were just starting to get along for the first time in years. And no, none of that. And I agree. It was clear that he actually thought, oh, well, I need a place to kip, don't I? Because I'm basically on the streets. Because I thought, he said we were his mate, and he's trying to put blame on his mate for attacking Eve, but his mate's the only one who's like gave him a place to live. And I thought, what are you doing, shopping him into the police then?
That's probably why he's got nowhere to live at the minute. The mate's gone,
Ah,
you
could
cannot,
be,
you can nanas.
you can none as well. You love
So
that saying, don't
I
you?
do, it's so northern. So he then Kim and Callum start having this argument then basically. Johnny sort of bursts in, like, everything all right, anything I can do, so come in to save the day. And then Jono has a heart attack and collapses to the ground. And Callum goes down, and Johnny says to him, "Right, you're medically trained, yeah?" And it transpires Callum is medically trained, but is utterly useless in a medical emergency.
Well, I don't think it is in any medical emergency, but I think when it's like your own family member, it's totally different, isn't it? I think if it had been a stranger on the street, he'd have gone into, you know, police emergency mode. But because it were in his apartment with his own dad, he just kind of panicked and didn't really know what to do. But yeah, I were at first I were a bit confused, like, why is he trying to go and get Anthony? But actually, it weren't that far for him to really go, I guess. But anyway,
So Callum
over
rushes
and out.
out, like you say, to get Anthony. It doesn't take long, however, for Jono to pass away. However, just before he passes away, he manages to squeeze out one last little bit of homophobia, and Johnny is there, and only Johnny is there to hear Jono's final words. I'm so glad that Jono's dead because Johnny and Jono is a difficult thing to keep saying over and over. His last words are that he is ashamed of Callum, and then he just sort of dies there and then. Now, what did you think Johnny was going to do with this information? I thought he was going to tell him straight away, but I'm glad he didn't.
No, I didn't think he was going to tell him straight away. To be fair, I don't know what I thought he was going to do, but what I think he should have done is just said that he didn't say anything. Instead of lying that he said something really nice and just saying what he knows that Callum would have wanted to have heard. Like, he should have just said he didn't say anything. Sorry, he just passed.
Ow is what he said, and then he died. That's what you should have said. Yes, and then Callum and Johnny back upstairs again, and a nice last duff duff of the week. Bit of grief sex. Not had this for a while, have we?
No. I mean,
I
bit
mean, a
quick.
bit quick.
Quick,
I mean, I
innit?
don't know if,
My
given the
dad's just died.
circumstances,
Get over here.
my dad, get in the room. In fact, don't even bother. Get on the floor where he died. Go on, go down there.
Yeah, right.
Oh.
Yeah.
nothing makes you hornier than your dad dying in front of you, is it?
Well, clearly, evidently,
Clearly,
in the same
clearly.
spot, yeah.
I mean,
When you
fair
put it
enough.
like that.
When you put it like that, what do you think? I mean, this is the thing. I like them together, and I know I don't feel like I'm supposed to be liking them together that much. But Callum's sort of all like, "Yeah, I realise what I want, and it's you, so
I
be
like them
loyal."
together.
I
I
like them
prefer
together.
him. I'm gonna say it.
Yeah, so do I. So
I'm
do
gonna
I.
say it.
Sorry,
Do
Balham
you know
fans.
why
You can
though? Let
throw all
me
the abuse you
justify
like at
it.
us.
Let me justify it though, right?
Sure.
And show the different dynamic.
Okay.
Ben and Callum. Callum's always looking after Ben, right?
Yep.
I'm sure there'll be a lot of people who say no, there've been occasions. Right, fine.
Occasions.
But it's nice for Callum to have somebody looking after him for a while. And actually, I think it'd be quite balanced between them
Yep.
two. And when Johnny needs some help, Callum will be there and they'll both be there for each other rather than just one of them getting themselves into situations and the other one always having to pick the pieces up. I think they're a very, very good dynamic, other than the
Yeah.
fact that he's just lied about what his
I mean,
dying
you
dad said
would
to
though,
him.
wouldn't
That
you? You would
aside.
though, wouldn't you? Like what?
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have 80 to 120 milligrams, of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
It was for
Honestly,
the right intention,
what would
for
it
that
have
right
achieved
reason.
at that moment, telling him, or at any point at this, what would have been the point?
Do you know what? In fairness, all it would have achieved would be Jono getting his last word in, which you wouldn't want to
Yeah,
give him, actually.
exactly.
But
Like
it puts
his,
Johnny in a very awkward position. I actually feel sorry for him.
I don't know if it feels. Yeah, I mean, it's horrible for him to be aware of what those last thoughts were, but. I feel like, because especially seeing as though he was the one that was sort of instigated these two trying to basically come back into each other's lives again. There's a side of me that kind of thinks that it would, he, Callum would, I mean, I assume at some point what he actually said is going to be revealed.
Yeah, of course.
But I kind of think that in Johnny's mind, it makes Callum happier to know that maybe in his last dying moments, Jono wanted to sort of reconnect with him and start a proper relationship with him again.
Yeah, I think I get it. Like I say, we're just trying to say what he thought Callum wanted to hear. But it was completely false as well. Like, I wouldn't have
Actually, the
let
complete
him have.
opposite.
Although, actually, having said that, in a way, I guess Jono would be more annoyed at that. So,
Well,
hard two
exactly,
fingers
because
up
his
at
last.
Jono, because I'm going to say
Yeah,
that instead, I
because
guess,
he
in a
was
way.
literally in his last gasping moments having to really make an effort to say those last
To
words that he
remain
said.
homophobic.
Yeah, so actually, I feel like it would just be completely against his final wishes in order to say that. So, why wouldn't you do that in given the circumstances?
But would Callum want to know the truth? Like we said, maybe down the line. I don't think now's the right time to say it. Having
No.
said that, had Callum remained in the room, Jono would have said it to him anyway.
True, but then he didn't get that
And then he would have.
opportunity, did he?
No, true. But still, it like you say, it's going to come out down the line. I think Jono's going to. Oh God, it is confusing. I think
Told you. Told
Johnny.
you.
I
Thank
think
God he's dead.
Johnny is
Rest
going
in
to
hell,
confide
you
in it. Yeah,
complicated name
rest in hell.
combination. Yes.
I think Johnny is going to confide in Elaine about what he said, and
Oh,
Elaine
maybe.
will no doubt let it slip. I don't know in what scenario, but of course she
After
will.
too many Irish creams, maybe. Who
Yeah,
knows?
yeah, yeah. Drinks are on the ice, Callum,
Drinks.
by the way.
So I mean, as far as the last scene of the week, you know, with them kind of ripping each other's clothes off 5 minutes after Jono had passed away, I mean, you know, that is what it is, isn't it? It's sort of like this takes us into, I think, where we're going with the funeral. I don't know when the funeral actually happens because there's nothing in any of the spoiler sort of things coming up over the next couple of weeks
Well,
about this, but.
generally speaking, I think the longest a funeral can take in the UK is about 4 weeks ish. So it's
Oh,
going to
right.
be in next month, definitely.
Okay.
Maybe even next week. I don't know.
It's
When do you
weird with
think?
soaps, though, because sometimes it's like the next day, and sometimes it takes like 6 months or something like that, doesn't it? Yes. Well, we'll see. We'll see. But it seems that as of right now, Johnny and Callum are an item and a couple. And it seems that for now, Callum's next sort of move is trying to work out how to divorce Ben.
Well, this is what I'm confused by because they've still not split, have they?
No,
Ben and Callum.
no, this is an affair at this
Yeah,
point.
right. Okay, just to
Full-blown affair.
clarify, it
Yeah,
is an
this
affair,
is an affair.
right.
This is like when Sharon and Keanu were at it, but effectively in terms of the same
But
sort of
more people
situation.
know.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And yeah, different, contexts, like Ben is in prison in America and all that jazz. Yeah.
Here's the other thing, right? Okay, so you are in Callum's situation, right? And your partner is sent to prison for 6 years. And he is, what are you waiting? Like, I know
Yeah,
you're
we
engaged, so
said
it's a
this
bit,
before. Yeah,
yeah,
I 100
you're waiting,
percent
are
be
you? Yeah,
waiting.
I don't
Yeah.
know. I feel like Callum's situation is just a bit different, and because of everything that you said earlier, I feel like he's expected to wait, and I feel like he is gonna try and do the right thing, but his mind's wandered, and what support is he gonna get from that? Probably not a lot.
There are different situations here because, like, Ben's not exactly the easiest partner anyway, and everything.
No,
So
this is
there
the
are,
thing.
and
This is the
like,
thing.
Callum's a police, a detective, nonetheless, and
No,
Ben's
yes.
being put away in a foreign prison. Like, it's
Yes.
not a great look for him, is
Not
it?
really.
But I still think, yeah, no, it's still unethical, Robert,
It
one would
is. I mean,
argue.
look, don't get me wrong, right? I know full well what the ultimate outcome of this is going to be, all right? It's going to be Ben and Callum all the way. I know it is, right? I've
How is he
accepted
coming
that.
back
Oh,
though?
God, I'm telling you, he's
Is
escaping.
it
He's going to
he's coming back
escape.
permanently?
So, when it was first announced that he was returning, it said that the papers said, so it's not quite the same
Yeah.
thing, that he was going to come back for this funeral thing, and then
Yeah.
if that all went well, was the line, further down the line he would make a permanent return. So it's not
Right, okay.
absolutely set in stone that he's coming back full time yet, and whatever happens at this funeral, I think, will be an indicator of the next direction of Callum's life.
You know what they need to do, don't you, Rob? They need to let the public decide. They should open up a
No,
vote.
no. That is never happening again. So on to Nigel, Phil, and Julie now. Phil and Nigel go on an excellent adventure this week, don't they?
Yes, they do, to go and get some long-lost treasure.
Buried treasure.
Treasure
I mean, this was all quite sweet. I have to say, I really enjoyed the night. And I think now that they're sort of ironing out the issues that Julie and Phil were having with one another, I kind of really like them as a trio. I think they're working really nicely together. And I think that
You
my
still
initial
think there's
theory,
time for Phil and
oh
Julie?
yes, oh yes.
Fooly?
Fooly,
No,
I
we're having
really
no
do.
Fooly, thank you
Fooly,
very
fooly,
much.
fooly, do, do, do,
No.
do, do, do.
I hope they don't. I genuinely hope that they don't. But she did say that she had an affair with a mechanic with her
Yes.
MOT.
She might be about to have another one, is what I
How
can
does that
tell.
even come about anyway? Jesus.
Never had an affair with a mechanic before. You hadn't lived.
I've took my car in for an MOT,
And you
but
didn't
I've
have an
never done
affair while you were
that.
there. You didn't have an
No.
affair. Well, what
I
was the
handed my
point?
key over and went and
What's the
picked it
point?
up.
What's the point in going
Exactly.
for an MOT if you don't
Well,
have an affair with the
well.
mechanic while you're there, really,
I
for
need some
goodness
tits
sake?
off Julie, don't I?
You do indeed. So yeah, this all kind of comes out that Julie had an affair when they were together. I mean, we were theorising that everything that she was doing on the phone was to do with an affair, and we were sort of like a couple of years wrong with the plot points at that point, weren't we? Because it turns out, like you say, she had an affair with a mechanic a couple of years ago, and that is where the chickens came from. Because
Yes,
Nigel was sort of
because
like, this will sort us out. I'll kill the chickens and
they were
wind up
the
the neighbours.
glue holding them
Yes,
together, it
David
transpired.
Peckham was vital to their marriage.
Oh.
And rest in peace, David Peckham, as far as I'm concerned. Like, that is the most cruelest death since the sisters.
We're just getting used to him,
I
but we've
know.
got more. I
No, not
mean,
David Peckham, though, are they? Also,
no.
foxes, Lola, you should hang your head in shame.
I saw that a lot this week, people saying that.
Lola, evil Lola. Yeah, so the chickens are all dead, and that sort of is what kind of brings up the situation. And Nigel obviously had completely forgotten about the affair, and so he's angry about it all over again.
It's horrible, isn't it, with dementia? Because this is a thing that happens. It's like, remembering that someone's died. Well, like
Yeah,
with Debbie, isn't it? Remember
exactly.
going through the grief of Debbie again because he's forgotten and then he's getting reminded. So I think he's writing his book now, so it should be sticking in there, I
You'd hope
think.
so. You'd hope so. But where this does lead to is Phil and Nigel going off in the Morris Minor, And driving off, because Nigel has got a very fixed memory of him and Grant when they were younger, because this is very common, isn't it? Like, they'll remember stuff that happened years and years ago, like, as clear as crystal. They go off and find some buried treasure that Grant and Nigel had buried in the woods. Now, I wasn't entirely sure, because Nigel was on about, like, oh, this will be tens and thousands of pounds, this will cover my care package. And I'm sort of like, what have they buried?
Like, I know, I was trying to figure it out.
A shipment of drugs?
It's going to be a load of old £20 notes that could never get exchanged now. And then I'm like, but where would they have got that from?
And why would they have buried them as kids in the first place? But yeah, they basically end up going to this huge sort of, well, I mean, what was it? It was a farm. It was just sort of like a big manor land. An estate, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they remember, and Nigel remembers that they buried it, it was buried underneath a huge tree. Like, really pictured the events of how it all happened. Feels unconvinced. I did love Nigel trying to climb over the gate. That was quite funny. It was a good screen grab.
He was funny, bless him. He was determined.
He was.
He had to show Phil, I'm getting there one way.
I'm getting over this gate.
So you can help me, or you can't.
Yeah, or you can nanas, yes. So they do, but then Phil, obviously being Phil, was like, give me the spade, and just like wax the lock off the gate. It's like, we're in. So they go and uncover this box that Nigel had buried, and it's a load of football cards, very dusty, desecrated football cards. I don't know if they're going to be worth that much money, to be honest with you. I don't think they are.
They're not worth anything. I think that's what they surmise. It wasn't really about whether they were worth anything. It was more about Nigel proving that actually there are parts of my memory that are working properly. And,
which is nice.
You know, it were a nice little mission for him to be like, there is still parts of my memory that are accurate. I know this much.
Mm. Yeah, so that was nice. And lovely moment where they were sort of just wandering off together, and then the owner of the land was sort of like, oi, get off my land! And Nigel's like, dickhead,
Do you know what I found funny? That Phil like run, and they both just kind of like sped walked a bit.
Neither of them have run for years.
We're on it. We're not going to run at this bit, are we?
Come on. I'll never catch us going at this pace. So they get home, and it feels like Nigel's forgotten about the affair again, didn't it?
Yeah, I think. Yeah, because Julie were there hoovering, and he was like, oh, you should have come. Where's Julie? And she's like...
Julie, meanwhile, has... actually, the reason that she was on the phone so much was because she's managed to get herself an interview, I'm assuming at Walford High, or Walford... Yeah. As a teacher. Now, again, I'd like to... Well, I mean, what? Do I get the impression then that you're not keen on the trio of them together? Do you reckon that Julie's getting in the way or something then?
I don't like Julie.
I really like her.
Oh, dear. Fair.
Yeah, I really like her.
Maybe she'll grow on me. Do you know what? It's just that she's not being... I feel like she's just... I know that it comes with good intentions, but she's too in Nigel's ear, and she's a bit too bolshy with Phil in his house still. I get it.
It does sound like you do get it, Ruth.
Do you know what I feel like I need? Do you know what I feel like I need? For me, personally, right?
Yeah, go on.
The rest of your mind.
An affair with a mechanic?
Yeah. No. I feel like Julie needs to go off for a week, and I want to see Nigel miss her, and then I come back, and then I'm all get on. I feel like she needs to go away for a bit so I can appreciate how much Nigel needs her. Because right now, I feel like she is just kind of interrupting their peace.
Do you feel that she needs Nigel more than Nigel needs her at this point?
No, I just think that she's a bit... bolshy, that's the only word. I think she's a bit too bolshy with him. Yeah, I think that she needs to... But I know, and I get that it all comes from a good place, but I think she needs to just take a step back. And because Phil, feel like Phil's got quite a laid back approach with him, and it kind of works.
He didn't have, though, did he? This is the thing. He wasn't anywhere near this laid back before Julie arrived. Like, Phil was stopping him from like going to the cinema, and this was when he wasn't as sort of deteriorated as he was. So Phil, if anything, has stepped back from where he was and is almost sort of letting Julie take most of the heavy stuff, I thought.
Fair, actually, when you think of it like that. Yeah. But even still, I've not fully gelled with her yet. That's my...
I just think that... thinking. I get what you're saying, but the thing is, I get it, though, from where she's coming from. Because at the end of the day, as far as she was concerned, her marriage didn't end. Nigel just sort of went off because he didn't want to leave her with the burden of it all. She considers it to be her duty that she's there for Nigel throughout all of this sort of thing. And like you say, I think it is all coming from a place of love. I think maybe she's overcompensating and overdoing it slightly. But I don't know about... I think, you know, yes, I think some people are sort of seeing her as very much getting in the way of the Phil and Nigel dynamic, which I understand, but I actually quite enjoy her as an addition to it. And it's bringing out, again, this softer side of Phil that's been established that
True.
they haven't just abandoned, which is nice to see as well.
Yeah, that is true. Because, like, maybe though next week, now I feel like Phil and Julie have had a bit of a moment this week where they're gonna click.
They've had a
No, not
moment.
like that. They can click platonically, Robert.
Nobody,
Okay.
Rihanna, clicks platonically in Walford. And I'm telling you what, you know what's going to happen as soon as Nigel dies? More grief sex.
Oh, right, yeah. On kitchen, on, in the very same spot where he's just
Anywhere.
passed, more than
In fact,
likely.
they'll probably just move Nigel out of the way. Out the way, Nigel, just been
Yeah,
fucking
before the
grief
ring
sex here.
ambulance or
Yeah,
anything.
God, yeah. Just on top of him. Absolutely.
Oh, I really hope they don't go down that route,
Well,
but
we'll
yeah.
see. They love doing that with dementia plots in soap, though. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's always an additional sort of partner involved somewhere along the line, I've found. Like, think about
I know
too
what
the
you.
one or the one that Corrie did with Eileen. Like, that was all like they'd Leslie and Paul and all that kind of thing. That was
Oh
going on as
God,
well, didn't I?
yeah,
Like, it's
forgot
quite a
about all
common,
that.
it's quite a
Yeah.
common trope with this sort of storyline, I think. So if
I
they
was just trying to
avoid
think.
that, then fair play. But
Well, they're not really doing that. Mind you, I'm a bit behind. I'm watching Corrie. I'm a couple months behind her because they're doing a very similar kind of storyline with Debbie. But it is
oh
being
yes, of
delivered
course.
differently because they've kind of done it from the start of her getting the diagnosis. Whereas with Nigel, we've come in about
We're
halfway through,
established.
haven't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, Debbie, Debbie, Julie, Julie is supposed to be having this interview at the school, and she's all getting ready to go. George walks in because George is still living with them at this point,
Course,
and
yeah.
Nigel has a meltdown and can't remember who George is, and becomes convinced that it's the guy that Julie was having the affair with, and
Yeah.
so George has to leave, and Julie's sort of right. Well, I guess I'll just have to stay with you then, Nigel, and kind of misses her interview, but then Phil returns just in time for her to get there in time. And
Yeah.
then the inclination is that the interview went quite well.
Yes, so she's got a job as a teacher at Walford High
Well,
as
we don't know
well
if she's
then.
got the job yet, but
Yeah, but it went
she's
well.
saying that the interview went well. I mean, I don't know whether turning up late to an interview is the best sort of impression to give, but I once missed an interview entirely because I slept.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have 80 to 120 milligrams, of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Overslept, and then gave some ridiculous excuse that I had been caught in traffic, even though I only lived down the road from the place that I was having the job, and I still got the job.
Oh
So,
wow.
yeah. So,
Well, to be fair, if she did explain it, or they did say like, oh, you're pushing it, but we'll explain on the way that you had a family emergency, which is true. But I did think, in fairness, like, what would she do though? She was getting ready to go teach at school and Nigel was having one of these
it's a. It
moments.
feels like an intense job to go to and then
Yeah.
to return home to Nigel, doesn't it?
But I guess people do have to do it though, don't they?
Yeah.
Like, people have to still go to
Of
work
course,
while
yeah.
otherwise you ain't got any money
Probably
coming in.
more intense jobs like nursing or anything like that. Like you end up in the situation when you're doing the home care thing, it's difficult. So Julie at the school, that might be interesting, especially with some of the teens that are on. I see the thing is, I think that Julie, if they're going to keep Julie around post Nigel, I can see Julie sort of slipping into, once they've calmed her down a little bit with the Nigel thing, I
Slipping
feel
into
Phil's bed, yes. I can sort of see her slipping into the role of almost Pam and having like that sort of relationship with the kids around the square.
Oh no,
Like
she's no
Pam.
Pam.
Well, I'm not saying she
No,
is
no,
Pam, but I can see her
I
slipping
know.
into that. I can see her being established in that role if they decide to keep Julie around after
I
Nigel.
feel like she'll be gone when Nigel's gone. I feel like she's just
Maybe.
here for Nigel, unless her and Phil do end up, getting married and she's the next Mrs. Mitchell. No, I'm not here
Julie
for it.
Mitchell.
Julie Mitchell.
Julie
No.
Mitchell. She's
Would
coming.
that not? Would do you not feel that they'd both feel like they're betraying Nigel if that
Yeah.
happened?
Yeah. But then Phil's done
All
worse.
right. True that. True that.
Penultimate story now, Kat and Zoe. So after the madness of last week, they're very much sort of the C story of the week this week. Zoe's in hospital. I mean, she seems fine, doesn't she, really? I think she's going to be okay.
I mean, we knew they weren't going to bring Michelle Ryan back to kill
her off. Imagine if they'd done that. Can you imagine if they just like killed her off last week after making so much noise about Zoe Slater coming back? Yeah, she's dead now. Lol. Exactly. Fooled you.
Lol joke.
Lol jokes. That'd have been interesting. So, yeah, Kat and Zoe. I mean, what do you think of their relationship at the moment? It feels like they've sort of gone back a bit. Because I feel like Kat was really disappointed when Zoe kept calling her Kat this week.
Oh, yeah, I didn't click to that at all. But now you're saying it, yeah, definitely. Well, that is kind of how she's known her for most, like, for the majority of her life. So you can
They had sort of established the mum thing before Zoe left last time. So it feels like Zoe has massively sort of regressed in terms of how she sees Kat. And I wonder how much of that is self-preservation and sort of, you know, her trying to just sort of keep her distance from her on emotional level and so in case she doesn't get hurt again or something, or whether she's just being a cow.
Well, I think it's just with everything Zoe's going through. She's therapy, don't she? Then she might start calling her mum again, I think.
Yeah, she needs months and years of therapy, that woman. A bit of a more of a mystery established with Zoe this week was when they started talking about the dad of the kids.
Yes.
So now the way that they've set that up and sort of made it quite obvious that that's a big key mystery in all of this makes me think that we're going to know who the father is.
It's Anthony. And it's got to be Anthony. I'm adamant. Why have they brought him back at the same time?
Well, yeah. I mean, why wouldn't she tell Kat that, though?
Because Kat miscarried Anthony's kid years ago.
Yes.
So does Zoe feel guilty about that entire thing that happened and don't want to admit to Kat that it's Anthony's, maybe?
Maybe. I did see some theories kicking around online about who dad was going to be.
Go on.
But some people are sort of like, I bet it's Alfie. I bet Alfie did it. And you're sort of like, no, please, for the love of God, no.
No, it's not Alfie.
Please, for the love of God, no. No. So, yeah, that mystery's sort of in the air at the moment. I feel like that's... if it is Anthony, then when does that get revealed? Presumably when this next kid shows up.
Possibly, yeah. Will it take the kid to show up?
I think
Maybe we've got Max to return as well.
Yeah.
He knows a lot more details. Do you think... Because we've seen Zoe was actually confiding in Max a lot. So we saw when she's talking to Kat, she's like, ask me anything except about the kids.
And then
when we saw Zoe with Max, she was talking quite openly with him. Yeah. So maybe she's already told him who the father is and maybe Max might reveal it.
I mean, I thought it was interesting that Kat, she said to Kat, like you say, to ask me anything you like apart from the kids. And then Kat asks her nothing but the kids, so we don't get any new answers.
Well,
you know, Zoe has decided that she's going to go and stay with Stacey for a bit, which should be good for when Max returns, shouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And then I think Zoe will end up, it'll be her house when Stacey does inevitably leave.
You reckon? Well, she's just going to be moving in with Jean and everyone, unless Stacey kicks her out and then Zoe just ends up moving into the Vic.
No, I can picture Zoe being in the Slater house. I think it'd suit her to be, I can picture that happening, to be fair.
Fair enough. So, I mean, it's just, I think at this point, this is more about just sort of waiting until we get answers. I feel like that's not really going to happen until Max comes back. And then that's going to be obviously leading into Stacey's exit, presumably.
Well, it's funny, isn't it? Because this is why I think Stacey's going to exit, because they're trying to show that Zoe and Stacey actually really get on and that they're quite close.
Yeah.
So then Stacey's going to presumably feel quite betrayed by Zoe when it comes out. Well, and again, is she allowed to? I mean, you know, it's Albert's Square. Everyone gets with everyone anyway. Someone's going to get with your ex.
But, you know, by the laws of ratio. And also, arguably, when they first started, Zoe wasn't aware who Max really was. And I sincerely doubt whether Max has told Zoe about his past sordid sex life. So... Is it really Zoe's fault?
Does she actually know about Max and...
I don't think she does. I feel like she doesn't.
I feel like she would, though, because of like what happened with Bradley. She knows about Bradley, so surely she knows about Stacey having an affair with his dad.
She might know about Bradley, but I don't know whether she'll know the details of how Bradley died necessarily, or any of what happened in 2009. She might not be aware of that.
True that, because she weren't here, was she?
She weren't watching EastEnders back then, so she might not know what was going on.
Well, did you think there was anything in, you know, Kim was going around spreading that she was what she call her, a podium dancer when she's in Ibiza, and
Oh,
you know
yeah.
they all have gangs and stuff. Are you still thinking that she's going to have had some Ronnie and Roxy connection in there?
We can but hope, really. It's all I can
I'd
say.
love it.
I
Let's have another
mean,
flashback with them two in. Come
well,
on.
Ben Wadie at the NTAs did make a comment about what was going to be coming up in the Christmas period this year. And all he would say is that it's going to be very past, present, and future.
Interesting.
So, spirits of, you know, spirits of Christmas, past, present,
Past,
and
present,
future,
and future.
which is interesting. So,
Well,
more faces from the past, possibly. Look, we can but dream and hope, right? I feel like, given how sort of crazy the lead up has been to Zoe's return, it feels like this could be the era to do it if they're ever going to do it.
right, surely, surely. Yeah, you can easily link it all in.
I mean, you couldn't. But the thing is, many fans are sort of like, we don't care, just make it happen.
Honestly,
We'll
literally
understand
don't
it.
care.
We don't care. We'll just make it happen. I don't
Yeah.
know. We'll have to wait and see where it all goes. But it certainly feels like we are at the start of a load of stuff that we have no idea what's coming yet. But bring it on. I'm very, very excited. Right, ladies and gents, let's move on to the final storyline of the week now. And this is Jack and Ravi. On to the final story now. This is Jack and Ravi. And first of all, I just want to, maybe you can help me out here with this, Ree, okay? Because I feel like none of this necessarily needed to happen. Because Jack is a policeman, right? I mean,
Yeah.
we have said actually from the start, the gun stuff has felt sort of logistically weird up to where we are in anyway. But like, surely all Jack needs to do, he had the gun in his possession, all he needs to do, if he wants to send Ravi down and get him out of the way, he's a policeman. And that we established this week that the police are trying to sort of find something to pin on Ravi. So surely all he needs to do is go to his superiors and say, I just apprehended this gun off Ravi Gulati. We've got everything we need. So I'll go and arrest him then, yeah? And then that would be it.
I'm just thinking that, or he could just like apprehend Ravi in the street and go,
Yeah.
"What's that in your hand?" and then
Yeah.
pretend that he's taking it off him or
I
something.
don't get what Ravi has on him whatsoever.
I mean, I think even Jack, I don't think Jack's daring enough to do that though. I think he wants to do it in a way that he wouldn't implicate himself, in fairness. Maybe the fact that he knows he's guilty means that he's not willing to take that kind of risk. Had Jack not been involved, maybe he would go and do something like that, but.
But even the wrestle that ended up Zoe getting shot, like all he needs to do was saying that I was trying to get a firearm off him,
That is so true. Yeah, he could have just
and it
been
went
honest
off.
and said, "I saw him with a gun, tried to get it
Yeah,
off him, and it went off."
this
Yeah,
is what I mean. Like
I
I feel
mean.
like it's there's a load of added complications into this that don't need to be there. I mean, I get it because we need a story, but at the same
Yeah.
time, it's sort of like none of this needs to happen. Like it's easy for Jack to sort this out really, really quickly.
Do you know what I actually wanted, to be fair? I don't like that they're now going to war. I'd have preferred them to have become somewhat of frenemies from
I'll
this, would
see,
have been better.
interesting. Interesting, because actually, out of all of this, the thing that I like the most is that there's a feud going on. Because I feel like
Oh,
we haven't had
right.
like a good feud going on for a while. And Ravi, a character like Ravi, needs a feud. And it makes sense for it to be Jack, given the whole Denise
Yeah.
thing. Like, that is all fine. I've got no issues with that. But it's just sort of like the components to get us to this point feel illogical.
I know what you mean. There are a lot of gaps, let's say. Like when Ravi was telling Priya about what happened, I'm like, why is Priya not questioning that? That doesn't make sense that Ravi's heard that Oscar's got a gun and Jack's not doing anything about it, so he decided to take it into his own hands. Did Priya genuinely buy that? She knows she's got Ravi's number. How has she
Well,
just bought that? That made no sense to me at all.
that's, hey, I mean, that's where we're at. So, yeah, I mean, the whole week is basically Jack and Ravi trying to get one over up on each other because of this gun. Jack tries to plant the gun in Ravi's flat, which Ravi
Yeah.
then very quickly finds,
Yeah.
and then is by the end of the week is saying to Jack, right, I want 100 grand. That'll make all this go away. Which
Yeah.
again, there is no reason why he has any reason to think that he can get this because Jack is in a much more powerful position, surely.
Yeah, and what's Jack going to do? Transfer it to his bank account? That's not going to look dodgy, is it? Like, how is he
Exactly.
expecting to get this 100K anyway? The
Yeah.
other thing that seemed really unreasonable, a Ravi as well, that didn't make sense. So they made this plan to go and get rid of the gun together. Then,
Yeah.
what's she called? DS Spencer or whatever her
Yes, dear
title
Spencer,
is,
yes.
turns up. And Jack's like, well, can't really do it now when DS Spencer's in my house. Tells Ravi the next day, and Ravi's like, oh, no, you didn't meet up with me. It's like, he's just told you Dear Spencer were there. Even you're not that dumb, Ravi. Like, you'd be like, oh, fair, yeah, probably wouldn't have been a great idea to have just, what, left
oh,
the
you should have
house
shot
and
her.
Met me.
Should have shot her, then we could bury her body and the gun together. Yeah, that's what should have happened, yes.
That didn't make sense to me either, that he was still like, that he started beefing him for not meeting him when he had Dear Spencer in
his
house.
Yeah, he had a very logical reason for not being there. Yeah. Oh, I don't know. But like I say, I mean, I don't mind the fact there's a feud going on, and I quite like the fact that they've not forgotten the Denise and Ravi thing either, because it did seem that they were going to just completely pretend that had never happened at one point, didn't it?
It did, but I'm kind of like,
oh,
I
you
kind of
think?
hope, I think Denise might get back with him, you know. I think
Oh,
when
see,
Ravi and Denise had that argument and he was like, I thought it were a great line, what did he say, something like,
he
there's
said,
a
I don't
fine
feel
line
nothing to you,
between
but
love and hate, but
I
what
feel
I
nothing
feel
is
towards you is
indifference.
indifference. So
I
like,
didn't believe him
ooh.
when he said that.
No, but I knew what he was trying to do. I think
Yeah.
they still, I think they still have
Yeah,
the hots for
and
each other.
there's, yeah,
I'd be
because
here
well,
for that again. Well, we
yeah, because
will
the simple
anyway.
fact is that Denise was hurt by that as well, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Like, she wanted Ravi to say, yeah, do you know what? I do still have feelings, and Jack's won in this scenario, because otherwise there is also the feeling of, would Ravi really care about Jack this much if that hadn't have happened? There is definitely an underlying factor
Yeah.
of the fact that Denise got away, essentially, isn't there?
Chose Jack.
Yeah,
If
yeah.
only you knew the truth, Ravi. It weren't really Denise's choice, to be honest
No,
with you.
you should be going after us, and not even us.
Not even
Not
us,
even
the
us.
other
Trust me,
us.
Ravi, we were on your side, mate. Don't go after us.
What about when he said to Jack, like, oh yeah, I'd be pissed off as well if I were thinking that my woman had had my thighs around you and blah
Yeah.
blah.
Yeah,
Ravi,
it's
Ravi,
there.
Ravi.
It's there. That's what this is all about, essentially,
Yeah.
isn't it? Like, you know,
Yeah.
ignoring all the madness that is going on with this actual gun,
Yeah.
that is but an excuse for these two to actually be able to really go at each other, because that is what this is all about. In fact, Jack even brought it up with Denise and tried to start a row about that this week as well, didn't he?
I
Like,
mean, I thought it made a very valid point though, because she
did
was
you?
going off and she was like, oh, you know, letting that man do this, that, and other. And he's like, well, you know, you were sleeping with him, like pot kettle, love. Come
No,
on.
but surely, Denise had made him swear on the foundations of their relationship.
Oh, yeah, that was a weird line, weren't it? The
On the
foundations of our
foundations
new
of our new
relationship.
relationship, you must do as you say you are doing. Yeah.
Interesting, though, that might drive her into Ravi's arms. I feel like, because Denise has been saying all week, like, oh, he's a drug dealer and all that. It's like, you knew that surely when you were getting
You
with him
knew all
before.
of
So
this.
why are you, yeah, why are
Nothing.
you acting
Yeah.
like that's a big
Nothing
deal
that
now?
you are discovering about Ravi at the moment is in any way a surprise to you.
Yeah.
You
Oh,
knew
I
that he
never
was
knew that
aggressive.
before.
No, I had
Yeah.
no idea you were this violent. Of course you did. Like
Yeah.
you, in fact, before you started having the affair, you and him were at loggerheads together because Ravi was doing things like threatening you and all this kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh,
Yeah,
yeah,
threatening
exactly.
to
Come on.
burn everything that she holds dear and everything.
It's like Jack says she has what did he say, like a blind spot when it comes to him or
Which was an
something, and
interesting line, I thought. I thought that actually maybe he has a point there.
yeah, definitely.
And is Denise trying to maybe overcompensate a little bit, especially with this whole mad plot of, like, you know, them deciding to put the flat up for sale and all of this kind of thing? It's sort of like,
I did
where
think,
does this end?
couldn't Jack just give him the flat? I wondered if that was going to be the outcome of this, but now Ravi's saying. So we ended the week with Ravi saying, oh, we need a bigger place and we're going to move out. And I thought, where are they going to move to then? Where's
It won't be
their
anywhere
new
out the
home going to
square, let
be?
me tell you that for free. So they
Well,
don't
that's
leave the
what.
square. But where the week truly does end, which on a quite an interesting note, and I wonder if this is the beginning of like another mystery that's sort of going on at the minute. Like, who is this boss? Because it seems to
Yeah.
be, up to this point, we've sort of been led to believe that almost that Ravi was the boss in the situation.
Yeah.
But it seems very much now that Ravi is fearfully working for some other shadowy figure. And
Yeah.
they've now got Nugget and Avani in their sights, and they've taken pictures and stuff. I did enjoy Nugget's picture, which was very much Jaheim sort of leaning against the gate, like, yeah.
And what?
And posing a little bit. Yeah. So that's interesting. I wonder where that's going to go from
But this
here.
doesn't make sense to me either because it was Irvi's
Go
gun. So where's Irvi got it from? And is
on.
there a
Only.
reason that this looks like such an old-fashioned gun?
Yeah, like
Isn't
something that you pull
it?
out of like one of those things that you'd find buried in a box underground somewhere, isn't it? It's like quite an
Yeah.
old revolver, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I
Is
don't
that
know.
relevant then? Because, like, I
Maybe it was
don't
buried
understand.
next to Nigel's football cards.
Well, I don't. Yeah, literally looks like that kind of age, though, doesn't it? So
Yeah.
where is this? Where has Ovi got it from? In order for him to be
Okay.
like,
Who's Ovi?
okay, I keep saying Ovi. I don't.
Ovi Doke.
Name. I
Yeah.
like the name Ovi. That's why.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Next kid, maybe then.
Where
Next kid.
has Oki got it from? Like,
Well, I
has
mean,
he got it
yeah.
from the guys up top? Because it were Ravi who seemed annoyed that he had it in the first place,
Yeah, well,
hence
this is
all
the
this
thing, like,
starting.
the whole thing with Oki's gun, what we said, like, the gun seemed to be very much an Oki thing. Like, it was his way of sort of dominating and sort of asserting himself in terms of the situation with Harry. But then if it turns out that this gun is actually from somewhere else, somewhere higher up, and that Oki's role in the sort of, I don't know how you call it, the conglomerate of whatever this gang is, like his position in the hierarchy, so to say, is maybe more questionable. Like,
Like, is it
why
higher up than
is
we
he higher?
thought?
Yeah, is like, if you say that Ravi was sort of like, because we kind of thought that Ravi was sort of like higher up, but like maybe, yeah,
Well,
he's got Mr. Big giving him the drugs to deal with, but ultimately Ravi was sort of in charge of the whole sort of operation.
I
But
think Ravi was like maybe Oki's line manager, but then
yeah.
like he
Yeah.
seems to have come to
He's
the
it turns out he's just
general
Oki's
manager
supervisor.
now.
Yeah, whenever there's a
You know what
problem,
I
Oki
mean?
rings the bell underneath his till and Ravi comes
He's
wandering
gone
off
to
and
HR, ain't
checks the
he?
50
Okay,
pound note.
he's gone to HR. He's gone to
Yeah.
HR and gone,
Yeah, he
and like,
has. As
right.
soon as Oki holds up a Scottish pound note, Ravi's over checking it for the validity. Yeah, so interesting. I'm interested in that kind of thing. I do say though that everything that's happening with Jack, Ravi, and the gun, that's all nonsense. That doesn't make any
Yeah, I
sense.
agree. A lot of
That
it, yeah.
is what I would say. Yeah, Ravi and Denise, you could have a point. I wonder if that's going to be a thing again. I feel like if Ravi's sole intention at this point is just to get at Jack, I feel like he's at the very least going to try and seduce Denise again.
Well, if you think about it, Denise asked Jack outright. He lied. But, based upon the foundations of our new relationship, he lied to her. Ravi told her the truth, to be
Yeah.
fair to him. Does she trust
The
Ravi
most
more
honest.
then now?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he's telling Denise more truth than he's telling Priya.
Yeah. Exactly, and I was just thinking that as well. What do you think to Ravi and Priya then? Because they're back on, fully back on, aren't they this
I mean,
week?
this is what the fans wanted. Like, the whole Jack Denise Ravi thing had nothing to do with Denise. This was all to do with
No.
Priya, wasn't it? Like, this is why people voted for Jack and Denise to get back together, because they wanted to see Ravi and Priya back together, which I get. And they do work really well together. Their chemistry on screen is fantastic. And I thought that Priya was amazing this week in terms of the
She
amount of
was.
emotion she was putting behind it all. They are going to have to go a little bit, I think, of giving Priya a sort of sense of naivety about what Ravi's actually up to, which is always frustrating to watch, but it kind of it the role of her in the story sort of requires it at this point, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, this is kind of what's annoyed me. I actually don't want Ravi and Priya together now after this week. Well, because for Priya's sake, I love Ravi. I'm a Ravi stan,
Yeah.
right? Can do
Well,
no wrong.
I
Bit of
was a
drug
Ravi
dealing,
stan as soon as he
wherever.
put
Bit
that
of gun
apron on.
crime,
Jesus
whatever, Ravi.
Christ. Yeah.
And I think when Priya said something, she said something like, "Everything in my gut is like telling me to run away in the sand." Other, I thought, listen to it, Priya.
Run, run. Yeah.
Run. No, stop. Like, you're right. Your gut's right. Don't not listen to it. Don't let him talk you round. And he has. But maybe that just shows, what a hold he's got over her, which is
Well,
not good.
the thing is, though, do you consider Ravi to be a villain?
Well, this is it. I didn't until recently. I think he'd redeemed himself. Now we've gone back a step.
He's definitely got certainly a more villainous role in this story, but I can't believe that we're supposed to be 100% behind Jack at this point either. Because if anything, Jack's telling more lies than Ravi is at this stage. Like, Ravi, at the very least, is being fairly upfront and honest about the fact that, yeah, I'm a criminal. Yeah, I'm doing this to sort of bring money to the table. He lies this week and says that he's managed to sort things out with Bernie stealing the money, so he's got that money back, which I'm presuming is going to be a cover-up when he's eventually planning on getting this 100 grand off Jack. So.
I feel like Ravi, to be honest, had we not seen the Kodjo side and him being okay with okay taking the flat,
Yeah.
maybe wouldn't have thought he were a villain. But the fact that he did that to Kodjo makes me think, yeah, you are a villain. Whereas with Jack, is he doing things the right way? Absolutely not. But I feel like with Jack, it's a bit more of a like series of unfortunate events. He didn't really have malice behind any of it other than trying to plant the gun on Ravi, but arguably, you know, he's keeping a dangerous man off the streets. This is the other thing, though, in fairness, right? Ravi took that gun, told Harry to take the gun from Oki because he didn't trust him with it. And actually, I think Ravi doesn't agree with gun crime anyway, but at no point has he said this to Jack and explained, actually, I was also trying to get that gun off the streets because this idiot who works for me had got hold of it and I didn't trust him with it. So I was trying to get it off the streets as much as you. He's not said any of that. He's just like, yeah, I've got a gun. And what? Yeah. Yeah, it's from my circles.
Mate. I mean, I don't know if I'd put that much sort of faith in Jack's motives, to be honest. I feel like all of this is just to do with Denise. I feel like Jack's motives entirely rest on the door of him being jealous of and being paranoid.
Just
about
hating Ravi.
Because otherwise he wouldn't have brought that up in that argument. To the app with Denise this week. Like that has always, you can tell, but that has always been there just beneath the surface, and he was just waiting for the opportunity to bring that up.
Well, what about you and Stacey, Jack? Come on.
I mean, that would have been
bricks and glass houses.
Should have been Denise's natural response, especially seeing as though I'm pretty sure that Jack and Stacey were having a full-blown affair and Denise and Ravi never actually had an affair.
Exactly.
They did kiss and she nearly did it. Don't get me wrong, I'm not painting Denise in any angelic light with that. But in terms of the actual momentum of the relationship, then they're as bad as each other in that respect.
Yeah.
So
yeah, exactly.
Time will tell. Gold star this week, right?
Oh, do you know what? I'm giving it to Priya.
Fair. Yeah, yeah. I'm stuck this week. I might give mine to Nigel this week.
Oh, okay.
I did enjoy the stuff with Nigel.
Not Julie.
Nearly Julie. Love Julie, actually. And to be fair, it nearly was Julie. And then he said, Julie, just to wind you up. But no, it went to Nigel this week. Nigel. But Julie, let me tell you, she's on her way to a gold star lady. Let me tell you. Yes. Right, ladies and gents, before we finish the podcast, as usual, we've got some news and some comments from you. Right, folks, before we get to the comments, a bit of news. Serious face for this one. I've not done one of these before. EastEnders star Jamie Borthwick has been axed from the show after 19 years. This comes after he was suspended by the BBC after using a slur against disabled people on the set of Strictly Come Dancing. A BBC studio spokesperson has said, "We can confirm that Jamie Borthwick will not be returning to EastEnders. We do not comment on individual matters." There's not a lot we can say about this. The situation is what it is. I would say a shame for it to end this way for him after so long on the show.
19 years, I didn't realise it 19 years,
it's
that
a long,
long
time.
Yeah.
I feel like it's, you know, as much as people were a fan of Jay as a character, I don't think it's going to be an absolute...
Huge fan of you, sorry, not going to lie.
But
devastated.
I feel like it's not going to be much of a trial to sort of writing out of the show either, is it? So
no, not at the moment. Yeah, he's not been in it that much recently, has he, to be fair?
No. From the sound of things, I feel like we've already seen his final scene as well. So we're not...
That's what people keep saying, don't they? But it's not been announced that we've seen it, has it?
No, apparently he's not going back. Like,
he's not going back.
No, he filmed his last scene before he got suspended, and then that was it. So we have seen his final scene, and that's it for Jay. So that's that. So there we go. That's that. It's not entirely pleasant news, but... probably needed to be said in terms of just news about the show. Comments this week, Ray.
We've got a comment here from Andy Hercules Einstein Ormerod, who says, "Was Jax, the experienced policeman with things to hide, code for his safe 1234?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Yeah, I meant to bring this up earlier. Yeah, Jack.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, Jack, master detective. I mean, I don't think we even knew that Jack had a safe before this week, did we? I can't remember ever seeing a safe.
I had no idea that he had one. Maybe it's a thing that the richer folk on Albert Square seem
apparently
to have hidden behind a picture frame.
Apparently so. But yeah, his code was 1234. And I can totally see his thinking behind that. He's thinking he's doing some amazing double bluff and thinking, there's no way that anybody will think that I, Detective Jack Branning, would ever have such an easy code on my safe. I mean, you know when you go into a hotel or something and you're sort of playing with the safe that you get in there? I don't know about anybody else. The first thing I type into idly is just 1234.
1234.
Yeah.
1234 or 0000, because tends to be one of them, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I was just going to say then, do you think it's going to be because somebody's going to break into his safe and find it, so they wanted to show us that it were an easy code? But it's Ravi who's got it, isn't it?
But then Ravi, I think, would be like, they would try... Because the thing is, with a safe code, right, we're either going to do people's birthdays or...
Yeah.
something really easy, like the word password for your password or something like that, aren't you? Yeah.
Oh,
One,
Phil.
two, three, four.
Phil didn't. What were Phil's
No.
when England
Well,
won
Phil.
World Cup in 60s or something like
Yeah,
that?
but I think it was also Phil, Ben and Peggy's birthday as well.
Oh,
That was it.
yeah,
Yeah. So
Harry.
you'd have
So
to
we'll
work a
still have a
little bit
birthday as
harder.
well.
I mean, that's the difference, isn't it? Criminal mastermind and Jack. Sean at Askew has said, "Will Phil scatter Nigel's ashes by that tree, I wonder?" That's a nice point. Yeah, I can see that happening because it seems to be something that meant quite a lot to Nigel. It's quite a picturesque location. Phil likes running away from that gameskeeper, so that'll be fun for him to do as well.
Yeah, had two nice moments there, one with Grant and
Yeah.
one with Phil. Maybe it's something Phil and Julie might end up arguing about as well down the line. I wonder
They'll
how
have
they're
that.
going to go about all
They'll
that.
have their grief sex by against that tree. You what? You mark my words.
No.
Never know.
Susan Perry says, "I was getting real detectorist vibes from Nigel and Phil. Beautifully written and lovely that we are getting to see the real Phil so much more than the angry cartoon gangster."
I completely and utterly agree. I love this side of Phil. And I'm really pleased that they've sort of kept it going as well. Like, Nigel has been perfect with Phil in terms of character development, hasn't he? He really, really has. And
Really good
fair
timing.
play to the Waidster for coming in and saying, "Do you know what? I like that. We'll keep that
We'll
going." And it's
keep
been
that
some,
going.
yeah, it's really nice. I mean,
Yeah, he
yeah,
could.
he did offer to offer police officers' dad to his face, but you know, that side of Phil will never go away. There
No, that's it. It makes it more realistic, if anything, because he is
you
still
go.
going to have that side, isn't he?
Layers, layers. That's why Steve McFadden won that award, let me tell you. And Sarah Gee has said, "I'm really invested in Zoe's return and the build-up of her relationship with Kat. They're doing it so well, in my opinion. I do wish Zoe would try a little more. I'm sure it's been pointed out they ended on good terms, so she's not sure why she suddenly hates Kat so much." I mean, we've discussed this. I don't know if it's the fact that she hates Kat. I feel like she's just overdoing it with the self-preservation a little bit.
She's just had time to go away, overthought everything. For all we know, she might have had an abusive relationship with somebody, and somebody who's constantly saying to her, you know, that line that I don't know if we mentioned it when she first said it, that line she said about I'm a incestuous rape baby, were
Yeah.
quite whoa. It makes you wonder, has somebody been saying that to her, maybe? So now she's had it drilled into her head that she shouldn't like Kat. Maybe somebody's, you know, tried to be a bit coercive with her to turn her against her family. Or
Maybe.
it could just be that Zoe's gone away and been mulling everything over about her life. I don't, for me, I don't think it's that unrealistic for her to be like this, actually. I find it quite believable that she's like this towards Kat. I know it seems a bit out of the blue from when we last saw them,
Yeah.
but
Well,
given the circumstances.
yeah, I mean, and we still have to learn exactly what's been going on in Zoe's life over the past 20 years as well, which sounds like it's been rather a lot.
Exactly.
So I think as soon as we discover the identity of a few people, then it might start to make a bit more sense in terms of why she's so kind of keeping cats at arm's length at the moment.
It could also be, when you think about it, Zoe doesn't want to admit to all like the mistakes she's made in these past 20 years. So instead of going taking accountability for herself, she's going, well, of course this is going to happen with a mother like Kat. I mean, you know, she made
Yeah.
me think my own grandparents were my parents. And then in her way, in
Yeah,
her
yeah,
head,
yeah.
she's blaming her mum for all
Yeah,
the
I mean,
mistakes she's made over the years.
I would venture that self-accountability has never been one of Zoe's strong points,
Exactly.
even back in the day. So yeah, she is acting pretty much in character at the moment, but it's sort of like I'm intrigued to sort of see exactly what's been going on. The identity of this father, which, like we said, was really established as like a central mystery to sort of unfold this week. And who these kids are as well. I feel like I said, we're going to be watching any new entrant that comes into the show at the minute, like a hawk, and sort of seeing, studying their age, sort of studying their story, seeing if there's any flaws in it. We shall see. We'll get there before the show reveals it. Trust Detective Robin Ree. Right, ladies and gents, that's it this week. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can do the following.
You can find us on Facebook at Albert Square After Dark, on Twitter and Instagram at E20 After Dark. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to like and subscribe. You can listen to us on Apple and wherever you find your podcasts. Drop us an email at e20afterdarkpodcast@gmail.com. And if you'd like to buy us a coffee, you can do so by going on buymeacoffee.com/E20afterdark.
Yes, you can indeed. And make sure, ladies and gents, that you are following us on our socials. We may or may not have something a little bit exciting to announce a little quite soon. You just wait. Right, we'll see you same time next week. Until then, it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
See you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.